Text, Hallmark Channel presents, Crown Media Productions. A large Christmas tree surrounded by snow in a city courtyard. Title, A Kiss Before Christmas. Several people skate around an ice rink. Text, Christmas Eve, 20 years ago. Two men in the lobby of a downtown building.
It's not a bribe, Ethan. It's a contingency plan. In case Councilmember Hume needs convincing to put Bellingham at the top of the list of development contenders.
I'm just not comfortable with it, Sean.
Ethan, I know you're still new here, but making donations to re-election campaigns is part of the development business. A part you better get comfortable with, or you're going to get left behind. No, I'm going up.
Sean checks watch.
We're early for this meeting, so you have some time to think about this, but not much.
Ethan with a leather backpack fidgets on his feet.
Make the right choice, Ethan.
Elevator doors close behind Sean.
I can't.
Ethan repeatedly shakes his head no and presses the elevator's up button. A woman with long dark hair scurries onto a nearby elevator. With the doors still open, she glances up to Ethan, who continues to shake his head in place. A Santa Claus smiles and rings a bell.
Hey.
Ethan looks to her.
You come in?
Thanks.
The dark-haired woman smiles as she holds the elevator door open for Ethan. Santa continues to ring a gold bell. Elevator door is shut when Ethan looks to the woman. Text, present day.
Are you listening to me?
Huh?
I said it will be 20 years Christmas Eve. We should do something to celebrate.
20 years? What's 20 years?
Dark-haired woman hands Ethan a coffee mug.
Oh, honey, I'm so sorry, of course.
You forgot, didn't you?
What, that we met in an elevator and got stuck for 4 hours while you tried not to hyperventilate? How could I?
She places her hand to her heart. Ethan knocks over cereal.
Just saying we should do something special that night.
Well, we can't. It's the same night as the company Christmas party.
Oh, right. Who throws an office Christmas party on Christmas Eve?
Well, I think Sean convinced Rona that it was more festive.
No, more like Sean doesn't have anybody to spend Christmas with, so it never occurs to him that other people might.
Probably. Come on, kids, we gotta go. Colin, Trisha, let's go.
Mom, please tell Trisha that she's not driving Dad to the train station or us to school.
Mom, Dad, please remind Colin that I do have my learner's permit now.
Colin, Trisha has her learner's permit now. Trisha, Colin is driving because your dad is late and he might miss his train, and we need an experienced driver at the wheel. Dad?
Now, what's your mom say?
Stop it, running! No running or fighting!
Ethan rushes to grab briefcase.
Okay, I gotta go.
Wait, hold on, hold on.
Oh.
Oh. Well, thanks, honey, but don't forget these cookies. Colin made them.
Colin?
Yeah, I told you. Half the varsity football team took a cooking class last semester, and Colin loves it.
Oh, I forgot. That's right. He's baking. Thank you. Bye. Let's go!
Colin and Trisha each grab backpacks and start for the door as Ethan follows closely behind. Joyce remains in the kitchen. She notices a pamphlet for Winslow University on the counter, looks down to the pamphlet and half smiles. Ethan drops papers.
Dad, can you help me fill out my scholarship application for the summer soccer camp tonight? It's almost sold out.
It's December.
It's for the Red Stars and everyone's gonna be there. Please.
You know what? Ask your mom about that. She's so much better at those things than I am.
Trisha with long blonde French braided hair sulks and gets into the car's back seat. Chunks of ice float down the Chicago River, which is flanked by tall multi-windowed buildings. Santa Claus stands outside a train station and waves a gold bell in a donation pail. Ethan steps out the station and passes Santa as he opens the tin of cookies made by Colin. Santa follows Ethan with his eyes, cocks his head and smiles. Still with cookies, Ethan makes his way into a building past a security guard.
Now it's Christmas. I love Joyce's cookies.
Actually, Colin made these. He's going through a baking phase.
Is cookies any indication? He made the right choice.
True. It's cheaper than the doctor phase he went through last spring.
I overheard Rona talking. We all know he got a job with Cahill Partners. He's already left, so there's a BP opening.
Yeah, well, good luck to whoever gets it.
You're not going to try?
I've been Charlie Brown at that football one time too many. Rona were going to promote me out of project manager status. She would have done it by now.
No, just tell them that's the best offer they're going to get from us. Okay.
Hey, Sean.
Sugar cleanse.
See you up there.
Ethan extends cookie tin.
Ted.
Young man follows behind Sean. Ethan bites into a cookie and watches after Sean and Ted. Elsewhere, Ethan holds out the cookie tin to two others.
Guys.
Rona.
Good morning.
Sean. Ted. Ethan.
Rona.
Oh.
Thank you.
Here, use mine.
Oh, thanks.
Sean grabs a cookie from the tin.
So, how's the Bigsby Center project going?
We break ground next month, right on schedule.
Lottie Feldman accepted our offer?
It's a done deal.
I didn't think she would. This is a big one, Sean. Make sure you have the press there.
They'll be everywhere.
Okay. Oh, and Ethan, what is it you're working on again?
The refresh of the Jove Sports Complex.
Cute.
Rona bites into a cookie, then turns to leave. Ethan fakes a smile to Sean. Snow covers the roofs and streets of downtown Chicago. Steam rises from under the hood of a vehicle. Joyce bends over the hood as a woman approaches.
Radiator, again.
Yeah. There's some antifreeze in storage. I promise that's not your Christmas present. You go on inside, focus on the toy drive. They're waiting for you.
Okay.
I'll take care of this.
Thanks, Sonia.
Yeah.
You might need those. You're the best.
Joyce taps Sonia's shoulder and walks away. Ethan sits at an open laptop on a desk with a framed photo of him and Joyce. Web search on laptop. How much is tuition at Winslow University? Answers: a lot, but worth it. It's a great school with an incredible staff. Ethan slumps with his hands to his mouth. He reaches over to pick up his phone.
Hey, honey.
Hey, radiator broke again.
Well, can you get home safely?
Yeah. Sonia gave me some radiator fluid.
Sonia,
you know, the head of the youth center? Where I've been doing the Christmas toy drive for the last month?
Right, of course. I'm sorry, honey.
Anyhow, I'm gonna be okay, but I'm not sure the radiator is. I was thinking, you know, let's just get Christmas presents for the kids this year. Not for us.
Ethan, you better set me a favor. My office.
Honey, I've got to go. I'm sorry.
Joyce lowers the phone from her ear and begrudgingly smiles. Later, Sean closes the double doors of his office with Ethan inside.
You know, I'd do it myself, but I'm swamped.
But you told Rona you were breaking ground on Bixby next month.
Lottie Feldman got cold feet.
Didn't you say it was a done deal?
I thought it was. Then I double-checked and it isn't.
Who is Lottie Feldman?
She's the last holdout on Bixby.
What's her issue?
Probably the same as everything. Money. She's a third-generation newsstand lady, so you know she's not making much these days. All you gotta do is get her to vacate. Just throw words like lawsuit and financial ruin.
That's not how I operate.
You heard about the VP position that opened up, right?
Yeah, I've already been down that road.
Not with my recommendation.
Ethan cocks his head to the side and his eyes wander from Sean.
A move up the executive ranks changes things. Makes them easier and you don't have to keep rotating the same five suits.
Sean passes close by and Ethan turns.
So all I have to do is get this Lottie Feldman to leave?
Yep. Vacated. Then the project's on time. I continue to look like a rock star for Rona, and you?
Get a recommendation?
Sean nods his head, then taps Ethan's shoulder as he passes by.
Win-win.
Ethan remains with his back to Sean and quickly starts for the door while Sean takes his seat, Ethan halfway out.
Make me proud, Ethan.
Office door closes and Ethan continues on. Snow fills a yard with a light-up Santa Claus.
It just feels like I have a real shot this time. I mean, a recommendation from Sean would mean VP is not out of reach.
Well, I don't trust that guy. He's had years to recommend you.
I know.
And you work twice as hard as him because he cuts corners.
Yeah, well, maybe I should.
Don't say that.
I'm just saying that Sean's been a big star at Bellingham ever since he scored that Janus project. And he did it by cutting a deal with a council member. Now he gets driven to work by a chauffeur, not his son.
He doesn't have a son.
And technically, I only drive you to the train station.
See, I don't even get driven the whole way.
What? You don't like your life?
I never said that.
But Mr. Doyle doesn't make Christmas cupcakes.
Hey! These are for my football team.
And quality control.
Admit it, Joyce. Wouldn't it be nice to have nice things, not a car that overheats every third time you drive it?
Or Ferrari.
Something in between those two. And not have to worry about tuition for Colin to go to Winslow?
I don't want to go to Winslow University. I'm kind of thinking Le Cordon Bleu in Paris.
And I want Stanford. They have the best college soccer team.
Well, then, where did the Winslow brochure come from?
Joyce brings a glass of red wine to her lips. The other three dart their eyes to her in unison and Joyce continues to drink. Ethan and Joyce in their bedroom.
I just thought with Colin going off to college and Trisha now a sophomore, I'll have more time on my hands and I can finally go back and get my law degree.
You know, like I used to talk about before I switched gears into teaching.
Well, are you just afraid that you're going to be bored when Colin leaves? Because law school is a heck of a lot more expensive than a radiator, particularly if we're already paying for his school.
I'm very aware. Thanks for your support, honey.
No, of course, I support you. It's, if this is about more income, you don't have to worry about that, especially if I get this new position. We're so close to a real bump in income.
So, what are you going to do with this Lottie Feldman person?
I haven't figured that out yet. I'm going to stop by her newsstand tomorrow on the way to the Christmas party, which you can still attend if you change your mind.
No offense. I think 20 office Christmas parties is kind of my limit.
Both of them in bed as Joyce looks his way.
You'll figure out what to do with Lottie. I have faith, and it won't be by cutting corners.
Thank you.
Sun shines down onto the city. Ethan strolls down a sidewalk with two beverages toward a newsstand called Feldman's. An older blonde woman notices Ethan in his suit and tie.
He must be with a property development group.
How could you tell?
What you got?
Cinnamon tea and hot chocolate.
Chocolate. Always.
Ethan smiles and hands over one of the cups.
You here to pressure me to sign like the rest?
Nope. I was hoping we'd find some middle ground.
Me being in the middle of the ground you want is the problem. You know, my family has sold here since 1952. This is the Feldman spot.
What if we could keep it your spot?
I'm listening.
Joyce turns a corner with the phone to her ear.
Lottie agreed? Oh, that's such good news.
I know. We should celebrate.
Well, we should probably wait until you actually get the promotion.
Okay. When I get back from the party tonight, we'll celebrate the promotion and our meet-versary.
I would love that. And Ethan.
Yeah?
I'm proud of you.
Ethan grins ear to ear and lowers his phone. A crowd of people gather around a large outdoor Christmas tree lit up in the night sky.
Thank you, Gus.
Pick you up at 9.
Oh, don't you have dinner with Anita's parents tonight?
Excellent memory, Miss Bellingham.
I can find another way home. You go help your lovely wife entertain her parents.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, Miss Bellingham.
Merry Christmas, Gus.
Allow me.
Gus walks before Rona and opens the door to Juniper's. Inside the space decorated with Christmas trees and wreaths, Rona and several others mingle on their feet with beverages in their hands. Sean and Ethan stand face to face.
You did what?
I offered to transfer the remaining 3 years on Lottie's lease to the new complex once construction is complete.
Why? Why would you do that?
I solved your problem like you asked.
No, I asked you to get her to vacate, not come back later and take up expensive space.
But space was her motivation, not money. She only cares about the legacy of the location.
Which wasn't an option. Ethan, we could have charged 4 times what the existing Feldman lease goes for.
Would you more than make up by not delaying demo and construction right now?
You don't get it. This isn't what Rona thought was already happening. Which means I now have to explain the change to her, which also means she's gonna know I messed up, which is what I wanted to avoid in the first place.
Sean.
It's about appearances, Ethan, and you're making me look bad to her.
I don't think Rona will see it that way.
No, of course you don't. Because you see everything from a good guy's perspective. Just like the Janus Project all those years ago. You know, we never would have secured that bid had we done things your way. And that job saved Bellingham from being mired in mediocrity. Oh, this couldn't come at a worse time.
Why?
I think Rona's going to retire soon. And I plan on being in a position to take over when that happens. I was hoping to bring someone like you up with me, too.
Why me?
Because, honestly, you're the best project manager this company's ever had.
Ethan's eyes widen and he shifts on his feet.
Okay. Just give me a second chance.
He nods and holds a hand up.
I'll go talk to Lottie. I'll do whatever it takes.
Smart.
Ethan turns and walks away.
Hey. Oh, sorry.
Rona in a shimmering gold suit notices Ethan. She watches him leave then looks over to Sean whose eyes wander off. Red and green lights flash on a train which passes over the Chicago River. Carolers sing in front of a train station Christmas tree when Ethan passes by on his phone.
It's the only way I'll get the promotion.
Then don't take the promotion. We've always gotten by.
I don't want to just get by. I'd like to have the same kinds of comforts. And frankly,
basic conveniences as other people.
Then I'll get my law degree and I'll start practicing and I'll bring in more income.
And where's the money going to come from for law school? That's expensive.
And worth it.
You know what I mean.
Do I?
Look, I've got to go. I'm about to get on the train to go to Lottie's newsstand.
Tonight? It's Christmas Eve.
Sean wants it handled ASAP.
Oh, and Sean always gets what Sean wants, doesn't he?
Ethan shifts on his feet. Joyce's eyes roll and she hangs up the phone. Near the carolers still, Ethan lowers his phone and places it in his pocket as he walks away. Ethan passes decorated Christmas trees and ornaments and garland to have a seat on a bench. He rests with his hands folded on his lap. Santa Claus finds a seat across from Ethan and a large smile grows on his face.
Hello?
Ethan sighs and rolls his eyes.
There we go. Just what I need.
Is this supposed to be your busy night?
Time is relative in my job.
Must be nice. In my line of work, it just keeps slipping away.
Don't mind my saying so, you seem to be having a bad day.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. Bad career choices would be another.
How so?
I've spent 20 years in the same company, giving it everything I have. Being a good guy, being a team player, and for what?
You supported yourself, your family?
I could have supported him more. I could have done more. I could have been more. Instead of just always being good guy, Ethan. You know, if I'd just gotten in that other elevator with Sean way back when, I wouldn't be in this mess today. I wish I'd done that.
Do you really mean that?
Everything would be so much better.
Okay, then.
Ethan looks to Santa and scoffs. Santa grins ear to ear and Ethan adjusts his coat and settles deeper in his chair. He begins to nod off as the view becomes fuzzy and then resharpens. Still on the train station bench, Ethan jolts awake. He adjusts his eyes and rolls his neck around. A crowd of folks pass Ethan as he darts his view side to side.
Oh no.
He reaches into his pocket and pulls out his phone, unlocks it and scrolls through the call history which includes Sean and Ted.
Where's Joyce?
Ethan quickly rises to his feet and takes off. He enters the main train station lobby with his phone to his ear.
Mr. Holt.
Gus waves.
Mr. Holt, I have the car waiting. If we hurry now, you won't be late for your first of the month meeting.
Aren't you Rona Bellingham's driver?
No, sir. Miss Bellingham retired.
Retired?
Yes, sir. I drive you now. You told me to come here and pick you up, take you to the office.
On Christmas Day? I don't think so.
Ethan continues on.
It's December 1st. And you told me to come here to pick you up to take you to work.
Look, I don't know what kind of prank you're pulling, but I've just got to get to my office. And it's only about 100 yards away, so I can get to a phone and call my wife because something really weird's happening. I don't know. I can't get any calls to go through to her on this phone.
Yeah, but sir...
Ethan makes his way out the front door and Gus follows.
But sir, you're not even married.
I won't be if I don't explain to Joyce where I was last night.
Wait,
Gus gestures to the parked vehicle as Ethan gets further away. A sign above Ethan's office building reads Doyle and Holt Developments.
Excuse me.
Ethan comes upon the building and notices the sign.
Wait, what?
He stands in place looking up to his name for a moment before he runs inside. Ethan reaches for his phone and comes upon Ted.
Oh, sir, that's just me. Hi, Mr. Holt. Sir, I am so sorry. I tried to call to warn you.
About what?
She showed up out of the blue to talk to our legal team, and I...
Who?
Mr. Holt.
Joyce steps out from behind a Christmas tree.
Joyce Hollander.
Ethan with furrowed brows.
Hollander?
Yeah.
Ethan nods his head before a smile grows on his face.
I'm so sorry, honey.
Oh, honey. Do not call me honey.
Right. I'm sorry. I don't know what happened last night. I must have fallen asleep at the train station. And there was this really odd Santa.
What are you babbling about?
Why I didn't call you last night?
Well, you can't call me, Mr. Holt, at night. I'm your opposing counsel.
Opposing what?
The destruction of the Chester Youth Center. Do you just destroy so many buildings that you can't even keep track of them all?
Wait, I don't understand.
Oh, apparently that's a yes. All right, well, let me be perfectly clear. As I told your attorneys, my firm is prepared to continue fighting Doyle and Holt in all possible ways. You may have purchased the youth center's properties, but you have yet to receive approval from the zoning board to build another one of your tacky high-rises.
Tacky?
Oh, yeah, tacky. And I am here to make sure that you never do. Do you understand now?
No, but I'm starting to believe that maybe that's on my end.
Well, I'm sure you'll figure it out soon enough, Mr. Holt. Have a good day, honey.
Joyce turns to leave and Ethan drops his briefcase. Ted lunges toward the briefcase, picks it up and hands it back to Ethan, who stands in shock and confusion.
Hey, Jim.
Are you feeling all right, sir?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I gotta be dreaming. You think I'm dreaming?
No, I don't think you are.
Stop by my desk.
Ethan enters a small office.
No, I just need to... Mr. Holt!
A young man rises to his feet when Ethan sets his briefcase on his desk.
Where's Mike?
Come on, this way.
Ted motions Ethan with his bag out of the small office. They both enter through the double doors of a large office with big bright windows. Ethan scans the space with wide eyes.
This is my office.
Mm-hmm.
This is nicer than Sean's.
Mr. Doyle's is at the other end of the hallway.
Is it as nice as this one?
They're comparable, Mr. Holt.
Huh.
Now, you have a meeting right now.
Oh, look at all this. I met all these people. I'm famous.
Framed photos.
Hey, I got a fireplace in my office.
Are you sure you're all right, sir?
I think I'm better than all right. Look, you can change the color of the flames.
Flames change from red to blue.
There you are, Ethan.
Hey, Sean, did you know you can change the color of the flames?
Fascinating. We're all waiting for you in the conference room.
Who's all?
Company's executives.
Which includes me.
As co-owner and president, yeah.
Co-owner, huh? With you?
That's why it's Doyle and Holt. Are you okay? Is he okay?
I'm great. Let's go.
Want to take your coat off?
Oh, sure.
Ethan removes his coat to reveal a gray fitted suit.
Whoa!
He looks down and snaps his arms out.
It's a nice suit.
Sean and Ted look to each other and Ethan refocuses.
Shall we?
Ethan takes off with straight posture.
Did you see me to lie down? Maybe.
So, Rona retired. Guess you called that one. Hey, Kari.
Did you make sure they included extra special this time?
Yes, sir. And I've rescheduled your lunch with Senator Hume, and the Wall Street Journal wants to talk to both of you about the company going public next year.
Oh, we're going public?
What?
What? No, I just like saying it out loud. We're going public.
The IPO roadshow begins. Coordinate with Ted about times.
Hey, I just had a run-in with Joyce down, Hollander, downstairs, and she seems really upset with us. You know why?
Because she's been hired to represent the Chester Youth Center.
That we're renovating?
Ha! Yeah, that's one way to describe transforming their former space into a multi-billion-dollar real estate project.
Ah, no wonder she hates us.
Listen to me, Ethan. People like her are nothing but do-gooders. They never understand the steps necessary to make a company successful.
Gentlemen. Ma'am. Hi, good to see you again.
Hi, how are you?
Several decorated trees outside of the Chester Youth Center.
You should have seen him. He was trying to pretend like he didn't know what was going on. I straightened him out.
Will it do any good?
Well, we'll find out.
I appreciate the effort. We all do.
Well, you know how much this place means to me. It's too important to let it slip away so Ethan Holt and Sean Doyle can put more money in their pocket.
Well, maybe we'll get lucky and he'll realize money isn't everything.
Maybe.
City lights glow at night. Ethan opens a door and walks inside.
Wow.
Modern condo with large windows.
I live here?
Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm sorry again for not recognizing you this morning.
It's okay. Said you were in a funny mood.
Amazing. Oh, that's a lot of wine.
Well, you are a member of the Wine of the Month Club.
Wall of wine.
Starting to think maybe we can pause that subscription.
Your car's here.
Ethan glances outside and Gus opens the door for him.
Thanks.
Just outside the door, Ethan stops in his tracks.
Wow!
Red sports car.
Is that?
Your Ferrari. The dealership just brought it back from its yearly maintenance.
I own a Ferrari. Trisha's gonna love that.
Who's Trisha?
My daughter.
You have a daughter?
Gus stands in confusion as Ethan turns and notices Santa Claus inside the condo.
Thanks again so much for the ride home, Gus.
No problem. It's kind of my job.
Okay. What time should I be ready in the morning?
Anytime you want, Mr. Holt. Your usual time's 8.
Great. I'll be ready then. Thank you.
Ethan looks to the condo for a moment before he starts for the door. He walks inside and Santa stands in the kitchen.
Hello.
You.
Ethan removes his coat.
You did all this, didn't you?
No, you did.
When you wish that you're taking the other elevator.
Oh, wait. hang on. Are you saying
this is your life if you had done that one thing differently?
Then I was right. Being a good guy is what's been holding me back my whole life.
Have you truly been held back, Ethan?
Look around you. I mean, look at what I've accomplished. So now all I have to do is take that attitude back to my real life and I can give my family everything they've ever wanted. It's perfect.
That's not why you're here, Ethan.
Then why am I here?
That's for you to find out.
With hands on hips, Ethan rotates on his feet, sharply looks back to Santa.
Where's my family?
They're here. But they aren't your family. You never got stuck in that elevator with Joyce. You never fell in love. You never got married. And you never adopted Colin and Trisha.
Are Colin and Trisha okay?
Oh, yes, yes. They're together with their foster family.
They weren't adopted.
Not yet, no, but the Shermans are looking into the possibility.
Can't you just do some magic and make them mine? While you're at it, maybe make Joyce not hate me so much?
It doesn't work that way, Ethan. A Christmas wish is a powerful force.
What does that mean?
It means that you need to figure out why you're here to know how to get your family back.
Ethan sits on steps.
And understand this, Ethan. You need to figure it out by Christmas. Because if you don't by then, this will become your new life. You'll lose all memory of who you used to be, who you used to love, and your Christmas wish will become permanent.
Can I at least get some hints about what I'm supposed to do?
Everything you need is already here.
Can I have better hints?
Santa grins.
Merry Christmas, Ethan.
Ethan glances around and back to Santa, who's nowhere in sight. He rises to his feet and continues to scan the room. The sun shines onto buildings of downtown Chicago. Ethan's shiny red Ferrari in his driveway. Inside, Ethan heads for the shower and rotates the knob. Water shoots out from several spigots. Ethan shakes his head at the shower, then starts for a nearby walk-in closet. Lights shine down onto several suits which are hung in an orderly fashion. Ethan's eyes wander and he reaches out to touch a suit.
Impressive.
A staircase situated in the middle of the condo leads down to the open floor plan kitchen and living room. Ethan descends the steps and adjusts his necktie, then stops in his tracks.
Good morning, Mr. Holt.
Ethan's eyes dart to an espresso machine on the counter.
Hello, coffee machine?
Would you like an espresso this morning?
No, thank you. Just regular coffee, it's fine.
Italian, French, Kona, Colombia, hazelnut, mocha?
Italian.
Coming right up, Mr. Holt.
Ethan shifts side to side, walks one way, then comes back to espresso machine.
Don't suppose you know where I keep the sugar?
Red light pulsates on machine with no other response. Ethan rolls his eyes and walks off. Gus stands outside a black GMC SUV in the driveway. Out of the front door comes Ethan in a suit with his briefcase.
How's your morning, Mr. Holt?
Well, I made friends with a coffee maker. And please, call me Ethan.
You got it. Ethan.
A large smile on Gus as he goes to open the back door for Ethan. Ethan stands in place, looks back to condo.
Are you okay?
What? Oh. Yeah, I'm trying to figure something out, and I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I usually find when that happens to me, it helps to talk about it with someone.
And what do you do if the problem makes you look certifiable?
Well, in that case, I talk to my wife. We've been together since high school, and she's heard all sorts. All sorts, but, you know, I trust her. Trust her more than anyone.
Ethan looks away.
I'm guessing you can't do that.
Actually, Gus, maybe I can.
Ethan hops into the back seat and Gus, with a confused expression, shuts the door. Ice skaters encircle a large Christmas tree.
Hey, Ted. I need you to do a couple of things for me.
Of course, sir.
Did we ever do a community impact study on the Chester Youth Center?
Not that I'm aware of.
Let's do that.
You want to commission an impact study on a property we own for a $1 billion project already months in the works?
Yep. Also, I need Joyce Hollander's contact info ASAP. Thanks. And you know what? We need to change out these Christmas decorations. I mean, it's beautiful, but it just needs some personality. Hey, and maybe order some for my house. I mean, that place is awesome, but it needs a little holiday cheer.
Ted looks after Ethan and cocks his head.
Okay.
See you later. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. You have a call from Ethan Holt?
Joyce abruptly stops and slowly turns to receptionist.
Really? Ask him what he wants. May I tell her what this is in regards to? Okay, one second. He says it's personal. Tell him I'm out, then hang up. Miss Hollander is unavailable right now, but I'll convey your call. Good day. So what was that about?
I think he's trying for some sort of angle on the youth center case. Trying to get me to back down, but it's not gonna work.
The receptionist grins and Joyce opens a binder and flips through pages.
She's being stubborn. She can get that way sometimes.
I was unaware you knew Miss Hollander.
We met a long time ago. She was the one that got away. Send her some flowers. Not roses. It's too soon. Poinsettias. She loves them.
Red poinsettias fill Joyce's desk and the receptionist sets down another one.
This is getting ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you want me to send them back?
No. I love poinsettias. We just won't acknowledge. Now spread the rest around the office.
Sounds good.
Joyce holds a closed mouth smile as she arranges the poinsettias on her desk around her. In his condo, Ethan places ornaments on a tree near the staircase. He makes his way around the tree and hangs another ornament, stands back and looks at the tree, which is fully decorated, and shrugs before he heads to the kitchen counter where he picks up a glass of red wine. Ethan brings the wine to his lips and his eyes wander around the condo. Jars of candy on a cart in Joyce's office, mugs with marshmallows.
This is my favorite hot chocolate.
We're not sending it back, though, right?
No, but we're not
acknowledging.
Joyce slowly brings the mug to her lips.
That man is ruthless.
She turns with mug in hand. Christmas tree in the center of a nice rink.
Hey, any response from Joyce?
None.
What day is it today?
Friday.
Perfect. I know exactly where she'll be.
Ted watches after Ethan. Lights glow in a nighttime sky.
3, 2, 1.
Colors of green, yellow, and red light up a tall outdoor tree. Ethan approaches Joyce.
Hi.
He extends out a cup.
Your favorite?
She takes it from him.
How did you know that? How did you know where I'd be? No, don't answer that. Rich guys like you always have resources. It doesn't matter. Whatever this is, you can forget about it, but thanks for this.
Look, I know this is a little bit presumptuous.
Little.
But I only need 5 minutes of your time.
Well, that's 5 minutes more than I want to give you.
Please, I need to ask you a favor.
Why on earth would you think I would do anything for you? I mean, even if the Youth Center hadn't hired me, I would represent them. Because Doyle and Holt doesn't care what their development does to the community. You just tear down things of real value and put up unnecessary and overpriced office space.
You forgot tacky.
Yes, tacky.
Okay, right. Now that we got that out of the way, I've got two reasons why you might want to help me. And the first is, I'm going to help you stop the destruction of the youth center.
Yeah, right.
I will. I promise.
Oh, well, that's not a convincing argument. Next.
Well, the second is, I'm going to give you a huge piece of leverage over me. And as a result, over Doyle and Holt.
Joyce eyes him.
How?
By telling you my whole story, which will make everybody question my sanity.
Please continue.
Before I do, I just,
I have one question.
Ethan's chest rises with a deep inhale.
Do you have someone waiting for you at home?
What does that have to do with anything?
Logistics. I'm just wondering how you're going to get that tree into your house. Unless you're having it delivered.
Well, I can do it by myself.
Oh, I'm not doubting your capabilities at all. I'm just saying I'm willing to help. Purely above board.
And then you'll explain your insanity?
Yep.
He picks up the live tree and follows Joyce.
Okay, fine.
She sips on hot chocolate as they walk.
My place is close. Where's your car?
It's the red one.
Joyce sees the Ferrari.
Oh, come on.
I know. But it sure is fun to drive.
Whatever, Mr. Holt.
Ethan.
Mr. Holt, follow me.
Ethan lugs the tree behind Joyce. She peeks into the Ferrari's window as they pass it. Golden light comes from the streets of Chicago at night. Holiday tree between buildings shines brightly. Ethan's Ferrari parked outside a suburban home.
Thanks for your help with the tree. I will admit it was easier with someone else.
Well, most things are. This place is great.
Joyce flashes Ethan a smile, then continues to decorate.
It fits you.
She looks back to him.
I mean, you know, I mean, energetically.
I like it.
Framed degrees on the wall.
Winslow University Law School. Congratulations.
Well, it was a long time ago, but thank you. It was always a dream to be an attorney. Fight the good fight, right the wrongs.
Slay the dragon.
All of it.
They each nod their heads.
You do realize that you're the dragon in this scenario.
Of course I am.
Which brings me to reason number two, why I'm going to help you with this unexpected favor you're about to ask.
Okay, just remember, I told you this was going to make you question my sanity.
Oh, I'm counting on it.
Yeah, right. I have this problem that I have to solve, but I need somebody to talk with, somebody that I trust. You.
Okay, we don't know each other.
About that. I'm not the Ethan Holt that you think I am. It's a long story, but it all started just a few days ago when I met Santa in a train station.
Joyce's brows raise. The front door slams in Ethan's face.
Told ya!
He turns and puts his coat on as he walks down Joyce's front steps, heads for his car.
Okay, you can't possibly think that I would believe all of it.
No, not without proof.
What proof could you provide?
You.
Me.
Details about you. I mean, nothing after the point where you got stuck in an elevator on Christmas Eve, obviously.
You know about that?
That's where we met. Where I met my Joyce.
Okay, so I was alone in that awful elevator.
That's because this time I took the other one. And you and I weren't stuck together for 4 hours on the 18th floor of the Harris Building. And I didn't get to charm you with my terrible jokes that calmed you down when you were about to hyperventilate.
How did you know the floor?
With his hands in his coat pockets, Ethan holds his palms out with wide eyes.
Now, there's no way. I mean, no way. No.
I didn't expect you to believe me right away. In fact, I expected basically the reaction you're having right now.
Then why come to me at all?
I don't have anybody else. Joyce, you are the one person that I trust the most in the world. Well, the other you. But I have to bet that some of those qualities are also in you, this you.
This is insanity.
Just get it as a bargain. Hey, you have my help in saving the youth center. I have somebody to help me sort this whole thing out.
Joyce shakes her head.
The Santa didn't tell you how to do it? I cannot believe those words just came out of my mouth.
And no, he didn't. And I only have until Christmas to figure out whatever it is I'm supposed to figure out, or I have to stay here forever. And I lose all the memories of my other life.
Her arms crossed, Joyce cocks her head to the side, then sighs and takes a seat on the step. Ethan joins Joyce on the same step and scoots closer toward her.
Okay, at what point? Christmas Eve going into Christmas or Christmas Day itself?
It's a really good question. I should have asked that.
That's why I'm here.
You believe me?
Not remotely. But I do want to stop you from destroying a vital resource in our community. And you're right, that is enough of a reason for me to go along with whatever it is you're spewing.
They hold each other's gaze for a moment.
If you'll excuse me, I have a tree to decorate. We can get into the specifics on Monday.
Thank you.
No, trust me, this is just a bargain.
I trust you. It's the only reason I came. Oh, and for the record, I didn't use any rich guy resources to know you'd be at that tree lot.
Oh. How did you know I'd be there?
Because we go there every year on the first Friday of December. You also went there with your mom and your grandparents when you were a little kid for the tree lighting.
Joyce sharpens her focus to Ethan.
And Fraser firs were always your favorite.
Her mouth stands slightly agape with her eyes still on Ethan.
There's no way this isn't going to be weird, is there?
Probably not.
She bites her bottom lip with a half smile, then turns back toward her home. With a big grin, Ethan starts for his car. Joyce smiles before she shuts her door. Gold ball ornaments hang on a tree lit with white lights. Joyce sits on her couch at an open laptop. On the screen of her laptop is a Business News Update article titled "Development CEO Living It Up in the City," a photo of Ethan in a suit with a tall blonde woman. Joyce looks away from the article with a sigh. Two spires atop the John Hancock Center in downtown Chicago. Outside of Ethan's condo, white holiday lights hang from the trim. Inside, Ethan strolls around the kitchen with his hands in his pockets. He leans against the counter.
Good night, coffee machine.
Good night, Ethan.
Ethan raises one arm up and rests it on the espresso machine with a deep sigh. Bright blue sky at dawn above downtown. Joyce guides Ethan around the Chester Youth Center.
And when it's not winter break, local residents will volunteer to help tutor kids after school. Since the center started that program, many of the students' average scores have increased significantly. And the center provides a safe place for the kids to play sports. Oh! And blow off a little steam. And after-school childcare for the families that need that.
Place looks pretty good, but looks can be deceiving. We know it needs a new roof, and a lot of the wiring's bad.
Joyce crosses her arms.
Looking for a reason to back out already, huh?
No, I'm just trying to get a handle on potential problems. Do you know if the plumbing's been upgraded?
If the leak in the basement is any indication, probably not.
Yeah, I didn't think so. And if a building this size needs a complete overhaul, my gut says $1 million, probably, for all of it.
Well, better a youth center in need of repair than no youth center at all. Mm-hmm. You may not know Mr. Holt.
Ethan.
To many of the children, a youth center, regardless of its condition, is like a second home.
Actually, I do know. My mom died when I was 12, and my dad spent most of his time on construction sites, so I was lucky enough to have a center almost just like this. Give me a place to go.
It's sort of like me.
Yeah, Brenda was a single mom working two jobs.
Joyce stands confused.
It's one of the first things we talked about when we were stuck in the elevator.
When you weren't telling me jokes.
Yeah. Knock, knock.
She shifts her eyes away, then Ethan grins broadly.
Who's there?
Anita.
Anita who?
Anita, get out of this elevator. Come on.
Hi, Miss Hollander.
Colin. Are you responsible for those delicious baking smells?
You know it. Christmas cupcakes for my football team.
It's so pretty.
Thanks. Gotta make use of the double oven before they shut the place down for good.
We'd better have made extra.
In your dreams, Abby Wambach.
What? She's retired. I'm Kristen Press, thank you.
Colin, Trisha, this is Mr. Holt.
Hi.
Hello.
Ethan shakes his head and waves a hand. Joyce looks back to him.
Are you okay?
He fights back tears as his eyes remain on the kids, Joyce and Ethan, outside the youth center.
We adopted him together when he was 3 and she was almost 1.
Colin is a good kid. They both are.
Do you know him well?
No, just since I was hired. But, I see Colin sometimes helping tutor the younger kids.
Well, that's not a surprise. He helps Trisha with her geometry. She loves soccer, but studying not so much. And she just asked me to help her fill out an application for soccer camp, and I was too busy. Wait. Do you have children?
No. My ex-husband didn't want them, and I guess I convinced myself that I didn't either. I don't know, lately I...
Well, I can tell you from experience, you'd be a great mom.
From experience, huh?
I know you don't believe me.
Joyce holds her hands out and shrugs shoulders as Colin and Trisha pass by and get into the back seat of a car.
Listen, I believe that you believe.
Ethan's shoulders slump and he begins to shake his head as Joyce remains with him. An elevated train passes by decorated with multicolored holiday lights, Santa and trees and an exposed train car, a suburban street of homes with snow-covered roofs. As snow falls, Ethan stands outside the home he once shared with his family. Through a large window in the front, he watches another family decorate a Christmas tree as they laugh and speak inaudibly. Ethan remains in place but begins to nod his head.
I'm going to fix this.
He turns to walk off. Ethan catches up with Ted on a staircase.
Hey, Ted. I need your help.
Certainly, Mr. Holt.
Yeah, about that. Just call me Ethan. This Mr. Holt, sir, makes me feel like a...
You're the co-owner and president of a large multinational company?
Exactly. What I need is a list of undeveloped properties that we own in the same area as the Chester Youth Center.
Certainly.
Thanks.
Oh, and it turns out there was a community impact study for the Chester Youth Center.
So Sean had one done.
Ted hands over report.
And he didn't share it with our office. Interesting. Good work.
Smile grows on Ted as Ethan leaps back up the steps. Sonia and Joyce inside the Chester Youth Center.
Did he tell you how he plans on pulling off saving the center?
We're meeting tonight to go over some ideas.
Do you think he's trustworthy?
I don't know.
2 weeks ago, your answer would have been a very clear no.
I know. It's weird. I probably shouldn't.
And yet?
I think we should at least give him a chance.
Ethan stands before a spread of laminated reports with Ted nearby.
Is this everything?
Yes, sir. Hey, Ethan.
Receptionist starts at a look and he shrugs.
The Bixby Project? We're not doing anything with this land?
No, Mr. Doyle ultimately decided against developing it for residential. He's holding out for a better deal.
He leveled the whole thing on spec. Do you know what happened to the woman that ran that newsstand? Lottie Feldman.
Ted shakes his head and Ethan's brows furrow with a sigh. Colin with an apron on decorates holiday cookies at the youth center. Joyce strolls by with her head in paperwork.
Oh, hey, Miss H.
Colin, hi. What are you doing here in the middle of the day? Shouldn't you be in school?
Teacher's meeting, last one before Christmas break.
Oh.
And my sister has soccer practice, so.
Gotcha. What are you making this time?
Christmas cookies. Mainly sugar and shortbread. But I was thinking about gingerbread too. Our foster parents have been super busy this holiday season. So I thought I'd make them some for them to bring into work. They're doctors over at Mercy Hospital.
That's so thoughtful of you.
Thanks.
Is that an extra apron?
Yeah.
Do you want some help?
That'd be awesome, Miss Day. Thanks.
The snowy shoreline of Lake Michigan with downtown Chicago in the distance. Ethan stands before an empty lot where a for lease sign hangs. Rona approaches.
It is prime real estate, but you have yet to do anything with it. That is a shame.
Rona, what are you doing here?
Oh, I live nearby. Good to see you. Oh, this is where I sometimes got my paper and a coffee over at Taylor's Cafe. Would you care to join me? For a coffee, though. Not a paper.
Sure.
Good.
The two take off together. Later, Rona reaches for a hot beverage from a man at Taylor's Coffee.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Ethan grabs his.
Thanks.
So, what... What are you around here today?
I was curious about a woman who used to have a newsstand in this spot.
Oh, Lottie.
You knew her?
Oh, well, we weren't great friends, but we'd chat some when I'd pick up my paper. She was a real character.
Where is she now?
In Mississippi with her son and grandchildren.
Why'd she move there?
Because you sued her when she wouldn't quietly vacate the premises so that you could tear down her place. In theory, because you were going to do something with it. So are you?
No, not at this point. Apparently, Sean just likes to collect property and then develop it later.
I remember. It's one of the many things I didn't care for.
Ethan's brows furrow as they sit down.
I didn't know you ever had an issue with Sean. Honestly, I thought he was your favorite.
People like Sean Doyle are the reason I decided to retire. They give property development a bad name, and it doesn't have to be like that. My grandfather started Bellingham Development, and it was very different when I took over.
How so?
Well, Granddad believed in working with the community, you know, in a partnership, and I initially had other ideas, but over time, I came to see things more from his point of view. It can't only be about money. Otherwise, you lose your soul.
A smile on Ethan.
Someone I knew, no, feels the same way. We're working together to try to keep the Chester Youth Center from being torn down.
By Doyle and Holt?
I'm afraid we'll just knock it down and then do nothing. Like we do with the Bixby Project and Lottie's Newsstand.
You're not like Sean. Not deep down. I know the two of you have worked together for a long time, but I always hoped that you would have someone in your life who could balance out his influence. I think that someone would be good for you.
Ethan straightens his head, then looks to Rona, who nods. Lights on trees outside Joyce's home.
This is an ambitious proposal. When do you tell Sean?
In the morning.
And what are the chances he goes along with what you're thinking?
He'll resist. But I'll do my best to persuade him.
Why? No, a week ago, you were ready to tear it down. And don't give me the whole spiel about Santa and the train station.
For all the reasons we talked about when you gave me the tour.
Joyce looks to Ethan, who fidgets with his fingers.
And for Colin and Trisha. And all the kids like him.
He takes a bite of cookie.
I can't quite figure you out, Mr. Ethan. But I hope you pull this off.
She brings a cookie to her mouth.
We pull this off.
We pull this off.
They face each other in front of a fireplace with cookies and hot chocolate. Shiny kidney bean-shaped sculpture sits adjacent to tall buildings.
I'm sorry. What are you proposing?
How's Mr. Doyle taking the idea? After all.
Not well.
That's absurd, Ethan. Absolutely absurd.
Just the opposite, if you'll hear me out. If Miss Hollander files an injunction to delay demolition of that youth center, which she's planning to do, we're looking at a potential PR disaster, which you and I both know is not helpful right before you go public.
So what, your solution is to donate the youth center back to the community?
It's the right thing to do.
Oh.
Which this report that you commissioned states pretty clearly. The entire community uses that center all year round for dozens of important activities.
Have you seen the place?
I toured it a week ago.
So you know it's on the verge of collapse?
Hardly. Okay, you're right. It needs some upgrades and repair.
Which cost money they don't have.
We get it for them.
We get it for them?
That's what I'm proposing. That Doyle and Holt co-sponsor a charity called Holiday Hope Builders to try to save the youth center.
Holiday Hope Builders.
Okay, it's a little on the nose, but we didn't have time to come up with anything else.
Okay, so what if your little fundraising venture succeeds? What do we tell potential investors? Sorry, we just have to toss away $1 billion. Be realistic.
No, we tell them we're shifting the plans to another property we already own, like the Bixby Project. It's just a few blocks away, it's comparable in square footage, and all the research we did on it dovetails perfectly with the youth center.
Okay, so what if you're Holiday Hope Builders fails to come up with the projected $1 million necessary?
I have faith.
You're gonna need more than that.
Sean rises to his feet and Ted and the receptionist back away from the door.
You have until Christmas to come up with the necessary funds for the renovation. Yep. Otherwise, we go ahead with the project as planned.
Ethan nods his head. Sean exits Ethan's office just after Ted scurries away. Gigantic sculptures of large red ball ornaments. A line of people, including Colin, on their phones at the youth center as Joyce approaches them from behind.
How's it going?
We just got another 200.
So good. Okay. Yeah,
of course.
Joyce takes a marker to a donor list and begins to shade a goal line.
This is amazing, Joyce. How did you pull this all together so quickly?
Oh, I had a lot of help. Once the word got out, people were so eager to be a part of it.
Was this part of Ethan Holt's plan?
Our plan together.
Looks like your instincts were right in trusting him.
The two ladies share smiles. Trisha juggles a soccer ball around the youth center and kicks it down a hallway where Ethan scoops it up.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry about that.
Ethan approaches Trisha with the ball and his eyes widen. He hands it over.
It's okay, no problem. You know, my daughter loves soccer too.
What position does she play?
Opens his mouth, then shuts it.
That's a really good question. What do you play?
Forward.
Yeah, I think that's her position too. Do you have plans for any camps this summer?
I wish.
I heard that the Red Stars might have one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. I'm gonna go ask my dad.
Ethan lifts his chest and begins to tear up. Trisha joins Colin and their foster parents.
Got $200
here. That's so great.
$300.
Hi.
Hi. I thought I would stop by and see how things are going.
Really well. We made a lot of phone calls. We got a bare bones website put up, and we have a lot of volunteers, like Dr. Nina Sherman,
Hi.
Dr. Will Sherman. These are Colin and Trisha's foster parents. Nina, Will, this is Ethan Holt.
He is leading
the charge to save the center.
Well, it's nice to meet you both, and thank you. But I have to say that Joyce here is in charge of everything.
Thank you for helping, Ethan. Will and I are so grateful for all the center has helped us with over the years, for all the kids we fostered, but especially Colin and Trisha.
Thank you so much, Nina.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Dad, Mr. Holt said the Red Stars have a summer soccer camp. Do you think you can help me fill out an application?
Of course, sweetie.
Will wraps his arm around Trisha.
Bye.
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 The family leaves Joyce and Ethan together.
They're a nice couple.
Yeah, I can tell.
She hooks onto his arm with hers.
Let's grab dinner. You tell me how it went with Sean. We can brainstorm ideas about fundraising.
A double-decker boat floats down the Chicago River at nighttime. Ethan and Joyce at a restaurant table.
Take it. Could not possibly eat another bite.
Joyce lifts a wine glass.
What do you think about a cocktail party? We could have the volunteers from the fundraising call help out.
I like it. And we could have it at my house. It's certainly big enough.
Well, I would expect nothing less from a real estate developer. Okay, why do you have that expression on your face?
It's not home. No, it's just not what I'm used to. Your place. That's a home.
She looks his way and softly nods.
Anyway, Ted just gave me a list of potential donors for our client base. We can invite all of them and anybody you can think of.
Oh, my clients are all low income or pro bono. I mean, yours are going to be much wealthier than mine.
Pro bono. That fits. You've always been a giver.
But not a lawyer in your...
History teacher.
Really? Wow. Okay. I mean, I like teaching, but how did that happen?
Well, we got married.
You made me quit my career?
No. No. Actually, your mom was in a car accident.
What?
Brenda's fine. She's married to no one, and they're in Orlando.
Oh. Okay. I mean, that's good.
But you spent at least a year helping her recover. After that, you were pretty wiped out, as was a big chunk of our savings. So you decided that the prudent thing to do is take a job teaching at St. Mary's Middle School. And we get a break on tuition for the kids.
Joyce purses her lips with a half smile.
I see.
Continues to nod her head.
And I never wanted to go back to law.
Ethan shifts in his seat and lifts wine.
I did, didn't I?
You mentioned thinking about maybe getting your degree.
And how did you feel about that?
In hindsight, I wasn't very supportive. And in my defense, you really underplayed how important it was.
Well, if... when you go back,
maybe you will have a different attitude.
Oh, I give you my word. I will.
You know, a month ago, that wouldn't have been worth much.
But now?
I think I'm happy for other me.
The two smile and clink glasses, then sip from the wine. They each set down their wine and look into each other's eyes. A gray cold day in Chicago, Sean and Ethan on a TV newscast with a woman in a black dress.
I have to say, Sean, the idea of Doyle and Holt going public is very exciting.
Oh, it really is, Anna. I mean, Ethan and I have been talking about this day for quite a few years.
Even back when Rona Bellingham was running the company?
Even then.
Don't think I didn't know it.
I mean, we just feel it's time to broaden our horizons. And that includes increasing our charitable imprint. For instance, Doyle and Holt is working with the Chester Youth Center to fundraise for some much-needed repairs to get that center back in good condition to be the best resource for the community. We're calling the project Holiday Hope Builders, and we're hoping to reach as many people as we can before our Christmas deadline. So if your viewers could just
go to the website on the screen and maybe help us out with donations.
Well, considering the deadline, how confident are you that you'll be able to reach your goal?
It's Christmas. We have faith.
From Joyce's laptop, Sean slowly looks over to Ethan and Joyce chuckles.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Sean catches up with Ethan on the set.
Hey. Hey, what were you doing?
Getting us some good PR, like we talked about.
Ethan turns as Sean shakes his head in confusion.
Are you going to check in with Trisha? See what she thought?
Responds to Gus with a blank face.
You did tell her you were going to be on television, didn't you?
Who's Trisha?
Your daughter, the one who likes Ferraris.
Ethan's taken aback with furrowed brows.
I don't have a daughter.
Oh, I must be. Ethan.
Whoa. Ethan falters on his feet and Gus catches him. Santa comes from around a corner.
Tristan Jade Holt, she was born June 9th, 15 and a half years ago. She likes soccer and K-pop and she likes braiding her hair.
Gus holds them to Ethan.
It's all right.
Ethan recovers his breath and looks to Gus.
How did I forget that?
It's okay. I think you need to lie down.
Santa stands in a nearby doorway and Ethan notices him.
No, I need Joyce.
Ice covers Lake Michigan. Joyce and Ethan stroll on a sidewalk toward a food pantry.
How long did it last?
Just a few seconds, but I couldn't remember her face. It was like Trisha was part of a dream.
But you remember her now? And not as Trisha Sherman?
Yeah, I remember everything now, but for how long? And Christmas is in 3 days. And that's when I'm supposed to forget everything.
Do you want to postpone tonight's cocktail party?
Oh, no. Oh, I'll be fine for that.
Hi, Joy.
I help out here sometimes.
But as part of your pro bono work?
Yeah. About 10 years ago, the city tried to shut it down. Actually, they were going to sell the whole block to a developer to build yet another high-rise.
Dolan Holt?
Kemp Reeves.
Oh, they are terrible.
They are. But I managed to convince the city council of the importance of this place. I mean, food pantries, they're about so much more than providing meals. They offer relief and hope to the people that need them. And then that provides social cohesion. It's just all connected. And that was the beginning of my second career as a crusader.
Joyce looks to the food pantry and Ethan's eyes remain on Joyce.
Really are meant for this. I don't think I fully understood that before.
She raises her brows and holds her hands out.
Now you know.
Green and blue art is projected onto the side of a building at night beside the river, the reflection of a lit Christmas tree in the water, sports cars parked outside of Ethan's condo. Joyce speaks to a well-dressed man and woman. Rona approaches Ethan.
Is the lovely lady in the red dress the reason behind your son's interest in the youth center?
She is.
Well done. There's hope for you yet.
Rona touches Ethan's chest before she walks away, leaving Ethan to daze at Joyce.
So great to see you. Enjoy your evening.
Several people mingle with beverages.
How much?
A little over 20,000.
These people spend more than that on brunch. How much did we bring in from the TV appeal?
$30,000.
I really thought we'd have more than that by this point.
Sean finds Joyce.
Excuse me, you're Ms. Hollander, right?
Correct, Mr. Doyle.
I've heard so much about you.
Likewise.
It's a nice turnout.
Well, thank you. Let's hope it translates into even nicer donations.
I guess Ethan's plan is working.
Plan?
Well, sure. I mean, it's no secret. We're taking the company public soon, and real estate development tends to get such a bad rap.
Or earns one.
Now, it's just that attitude that needs addressing. And I think Ethan's TV appearance earlier today helped nicely. It's a good thing you came along.
What do you mean?
Holiday Hope Builders. Saving the youth center at Christmas? Couldn't come up with a better PR stunt. Except maybe saving puppies. Investors love this stuff. Excuse me.
Joyce remains in place as Sean leaves. She looks up to Ethan, who laughs with others.
Joyce, are you okay?
No. No, I'm not.
Sonia watches Joyce beeline to the coats. Ethan notices Joyce near the door. Outside on the steps, Joyce pulls her coat on as she mumbles to herself.
Unbelievable. Stupid.
Ethan pops out of the door and follows after Joyce.
Joyce!
She stops and slowly turns to him.
Sean told me that your interest in the Chester Youth Center was just some PR stunt for your public offering.
Well, Sean can say whatever he wants. It doesn't make it true.
Joyce crosses her arms.
Plus, I'm pretty sure he has his own agenda. I shouldn't have invited him.
Why do you say that?
Well, I just talked with Ted and Akari, and the donations from tonight aren't what we had hoped. And they saw Sean talking with a number of our would-be donors.
So you think he was talking people out of donating to us?
I think Sean would much rather have the property from the Youth Center than any PR saving it might bring.
And causing a rift between us?
Would make that much more likely.
And that makes sense. Because otherwise, your grand PR scheme involved convincing me of some magic Santa story.
Which seems ill-advised.
It does, doesn't it?
Their smiles fade as they make eye contact.
Look, this is really random and very last minute. But my company Christmas party is in 2 days.
Christmas Eve?
No.
Who has an office Christmas party on Christmas Eve?
Doyle and Holt, apparently. I guess Sean doesn't have anybody else to spend the holidays with.
Christmas Eve is also your deadline. Not that I believe you.
No. Of course not. But it is a big reason that I really like to have you there.
The two stand face to face with their eyes locked on each other. Joyce softly nods.
Then I will be.
Ethan smiles and Joyce turns to leave. His smile grows larger and he bites his lip. The red Ferrari sits in Ethan's driveway. Inside, Ethan steps up to the large bathroom mirror in a black suit and bow tie. He buttons his jacket and shrugs to himself. Ethan picks up his tablet and checks his email. An email from Ted says Holiday Hope Builders has raised $116,000. He reaches for his pocket. A message from Gus says here. Ethan places his phone in his pocket and heads out. A black car rolls up to a venue where well-dressed folks enter through grand doors. Ethan stands at the top of an outdoor staircase and adjusts his cuffs. Valet opens the back door of the black car and Joyce steps out in a long sleeveless strapless black dress with a sparkling necklace.
Wow.
Oh, thank you.
I've never seen you look more beautiful.
Well, you are firing on all cylinders tonight.
It's a special night.
I got Ted Nakari's email. Thought we'd get at least a little closer.
Well, I still have hope. It's not Christmas yet.
But it is Christmas Eve. How are you feeling?
I'm not sure how I'm feeling. I mean, I know tonight's important, but I don't know if that's because of all the stuff I've been going through or because I get to arrive with you on my arm.
Oh,
She hooks her arm into his and they both start for the entrance. Ethan pulls the door open for Joyce and follows closely behind her. Several people inside a ballroom where tables are set with white tablecloths.
Well, you can tell that Shauna is fully in charge of this Christmas party. A lot fancier than the last one.
Where was the last one?
At a restaurant. Not that I got to stay very long.
Why not?
I messed up one of Shauna's deals.
Messed up how?
By not being ruthless enough.
That sounds like you didn't mess up at all.
Not yet, but I was just about to go do it his way. Mm.
Look at you two. You make a great couple.
Oh, it's too bad, because we're just using each other for the PR.
Oh.
Rona, how nice.
You've been to one of our Christmas parties since you retired.
Oh, well, what can I say? I was inspired by the Doyle and Hope effort to save the Chester Youth Center.
I'm so sorry that didn't work out.
Hey, now, we have one day left.
That's the spirit.
And only 9/10 of your goal to go, so...
Ethan scoffs at Sean.
You'll never believe this. Holiday Hope Builders just received an anonymous donation of $2 million.
What?
Seriously?
What? No.
Did you do this?
No. I forgot I had money.
Broad smiles turn to Rona.
Rona?
Money isn't as important as people.
Joyce places her hand on her heart as Sean remains stone-faced.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Make it one to remember.
Sean sulks away.
We did it!
We did it!
Ethan and Joyce embrace. Later, Joyce's arm wrapped around Ethan's neck. The two sway slowly side to side on the dance floor.
You're so beautiful. Now that the youth center's safe, I don't think we have to worry about a conflict of interest.
Conflict of interest?
If we date.
Joyce slightly backs away.
Wait, did I misread this?
Misread what?
It's tonight. Everything. All of it. Joyce, the first time I saw you, I felt like I'd known you my whole life. I don't know. I hope it sounds crazy.
You sounded crazier.
When?
Like when you said that you were married in another life?
He shakes his head.
What are you talking about? I never said that. Certainly never been married.
Oh, no.
What?
Come on. This can't be happening.
This
can't be happening.
What?
It's not even Christmas yet.
What are you talking about?
Joyce and Ethan face to face outside the ballroom.
I know you're in there, Ethan.
I'm right here, Joyce.
What's my favorite kind of Christmas tree?
No clue.
Okay, how old were your children when you adopted them?
I don't have any children.
Tears in Joyce's eyes.
What floor did our elevator get stuck on?
I've never been stuck in an elevator.
But that's just it. You have been. We both were. That's where we met. In another place? And you have Colin and Trisha and your wife, and they love you. And you love them so much that you've been trying to figure out how to get back to them. Because you're a good man, Ethan Holt. You deserve to be back with your family. Oh, God!
Ethan weakens.
I got you. I got you.
Joyce.
I'm here.
Joyce supports Ethan and gingerly touches his cheek.
I'm here.
I forgot him.
I know.
All of them.
I saw.
And it wasn't a dream that this time they were just gone.
I'm so sorry.
No. No, I can't just lose them. No, they're everything to me. I don't care about the job or the money or all the stuff that comes with it. I'm glad that I got in the right elevator where I fell in love with you. And we got married and I'm raising two amazing kids. It's all I want. Just the only them. Nothing else matters.
Ethan doubles over.
Hello.
Both Joyce and Ethan look over to see Santa Claus.
Are you sure you know what you need now?
Completely. I want my family, and I want to be a good man for them.
Is this your wish?
Ethan hangs his head with inaudible sobs.
Yeah. Yes.
Merry Christmas, Ethan. Joyce.
From behind Ethan, Joyce waves at Santa. Santa smiles broadly at the two and then disappears. Ethan whips around with wide eyes and gestures to where Santa once stood.
I totally believed you the whole time.
He rushes up and gives a big hug.
Everything's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
You should go.
Tears in his eyes still, Ethan caresses Joyce's shoulder.
I'm waiting.
With both her palms, Joyce softly touches Ethan's cheeks and leans in to kiss him. Ethan turns and darts off, and Joyce watches after him with tears that roll from her eyes. The view becomes fuzzy, then resharpens. Ethan jolts awake on a train station bench. At nighttime in downtown Chicago, golden lights shine through the windows of skyscrapers. A colorful train passes over the Chicago River. In the train station, Ethan grabs his phone from his pocket and sees a selfie of he and Joyce on the screen. Rests his head on his hand with a smile. A text message from Sean reads, "What's the update?" Ethan gets to his feet and starts off past several others, including the carolers beside the tree.
Hey, Santa!
Oh.
A different Santa turns to Ethan.
Sorry.
Ethan continues on. Outside, Ethan hurries down a sidewalk which has been shoveled from snow. He keeps the same pace as he passes by brightly lit windows and comes upon junipers where he enters. Inside, Ethan sees Ted first.
Hey, have either of you seen Sean?
Yeah, he was talking with Miss Bellingham.
Great. Oh, and Ted, Akari, I just want to say thanks for everything you do, both of you. I don't think you get told that often enough. And all of your hard work is really appreciated.
Thanks, Mr. Holt.
Yeah. It's Ethan.
Okay.
Wow.
Of course it is.
Sean!
So, how'd it go?
It didn't. And it won't. At least not by me.
It's not right,
Sean.
Oh, great. You're doing the same thing you did back with the Janus Project.
Yep, I am. I was tempted, I admit it. But I'm glad I didn't follow your lead then, and I'm not going to now. There is no reason for us to have to go through with that offer that I made Lottie. It's fair, and we can certainly afford it.
And Rhona will know I messed up.
Well, just tell her. Own it.
This right here is why you never moved up.
Well, if I have to lie and cheat and hurt people to move up, up is not where I want to be.
She's just an old newsstand lady, Ethan. She doesn't mean anything. Come on.
Excuse me?
Rhona.
Actually, Lottie means a great deal to her family, her friends, her longtime customers. You didn't secure her deal, did you? Like you said you did.
I would have if Ethan had just threatened her with legal action like I told him to. Instead, he offered her a better deal once the project is built.
And compensation for lost income during construction.
Unbelievable.
You lied to me.
Both Rhona and Ethan looked to Sean.
I can fix it, Rhona. I'll have her gone within the hour.
No, I want you gone now.
What?
This is not how I want to do business, hurting people. I've let it go on too long. This ends now.
You can't be serious.
Do I look like I'm kidding?
Rhona holds a stern face. Sean slowly puts his phone in his breast pocket and walks away.
Yeah.
Sean passes by Ted and Akari without a word.
I've made a lot of mistakes letting him have free rein, but lately
It's gotten to you?
It has. Maybe it's because of age.
And experience. And with that in mind, I really need to get home.
Oh, yes, understood. But Ethan, after the holidays, please come to my office. I mean, we have openings now at Bellingham, and I think you'd be perfect for them.
Ethan's eyes widen for a moment.
I appreciate it. But you know, getting promoted is just not that important to me anymore, especially if it takes me away from my family.
Which is why you are exactly the kind of person I need.
Are you sure?
Not quite. Merry Christmas, Ethan.
Merry Christmas, Rhona!
Rhona, with a broad smile, watches as Ethan takes off. Snow covers the roofs of homes in a suburb. A yellow taxi cab pulls up in front of the Holt house, and Ethan pops out the back before it can come to a complete stop.
Here you go. Thanks.
Ethan makes his way around the cab and hurries up the front walkway. The front doors are flanked with big red Merry Christmas banners. Ethan hurriedly steps inside. He looks up the stairs and into the living room, removes his coat.
Joyce! Hello?
Joyce descends the steps behind Ethan.
There you are. Do you know how late it is?
He grabs her and kisses her lips.
Wow.
I cannot tell you how good it is to see you.
I wasn't sure you'd feel that way after our call.
No, it was exactly what I needed to hear, so thank you.
How did it go with Lottie?
It didn't, because you were right. It would have been the wrong decision.
Because you don't cut corners.
No, not with you by my side.
Oh, well, I guess I'll always have to be by your side.
Mm-hmm.
They share another kiss.
Oh. And the law school. I want to do everything I can to support you going back and getting your degree.
What?
Yes, passing the bar and becoming that kind of lawyer that fights the good fights and rights all the wrongs and...
slays the dragons?
Yes.
How do you know what kind of lawyer I want to be?
Because I know you.
Their eyes locked on each other.
And I love you. With all my heart.
Colin and Trisha come downstairs.
Hey, what's going on?
Come here. Oh, I missed you.
I love you guys so much.
We love you too.
Is Dad okay?
I think he's just emotional at Christmas.
Tomorrow morning after we open presents, I would love to help you fill out that application for soccer camp. I mean, if you still want to go.
Yes, thank you.
And you, I don't think I told you, but those cookies that I took to work, everybody loved them. They were fantastic. I think you're really talented.
Really? Awesome. I'll make more for them.
Yes, you should.
I feel like you've had a really interesting day.
Ethan looks at his family and nods with a grin.
Yeah, I have.
Why don't I make us some hot chocolate and you can tell us all about it. Sure.
As Joyce makes her way to the kitchen, Ethan wraps his arms around both the kids at once. From outside the large front window, the Holt family gathers inside around the tree with mugs in their hands. Text, the end.